Well, this morning, our subject is the secret of spiritual growth. Is it a secret? Not really. But how is your experience? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, it says, examine yourselves, not somebody else. It's easy to point fingers at other people, but examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ and his life and character is in you, except ye be reprobates. That is what we want to do today, is to examine ourselves and see, do we really have the life of Christ living in us? Because if we do, there will be a growing aspect to our lives. Have you ever felt like your Christianity was stagnant? And I'm here to appeal to you as a brother who has gone down and been in some of these situations before, ashamedly so. But I want to encourage you and speak from a point of encouragement from the Word of God this morning, that God designs for us to grow and continue developing in His great love for us. Well, there's a story about a man named Simeon, who was an ascetic monk who lived way back in the area of Syria, what is today modern day Syria, over in the Middle East, back in the 300s, 400s AD. And he was known for being very withdrawn from people around him. In fact, he became famous because he wanted to get away from people, and he climbed up on a 9-foot-tall pillar so that he could stay away and not have to talk and pray with people. Literally, to not have to pray with them and answer spiritual questions. You know, as a monk, you're a religious person, and he wanted to be so devoted to studying and learning himself that he didn't want to be interfered with by other people. Now, that's not like us, is it? Of course not. And as things went on, his reputation grew, and so more people came out to see him, which only perturbed him and caused him further annoyance. And so he decided to get on an even taller pillar. Some say it was taller than 50 feet. 50 feet tall, suspended up in the air on a small 1 meter square, about 3 feet by 3 feet, the top pillar. And he stayed up there. And people would still come and try to see him and look at him. And it was said that he would begrudgingly talk to people that climbed a ladder and were within shouting distance of him in the afternoon sometimes. On one occasion, Simeon's mother came to see him. And Simeon's mother was told, you cannot see and talk to him. He's not seeing and talking to people. And so he would not even allow his mother to come up and see him. And he continued to do this for 37 years. 37 years, to the point of where he actually died on the pillar, on this column. Don't ask me how he got food and took care of other things, but evidently people would send up food somehow with a pulley that's not important. But he spent the last 37 years of his life separated and isolated from as many people as possible. And this was a religious fervor that he had that he thought compelled him to do this. But is that what Jesus asks for us to do? Of course not. Right. Thank you, young man up in the balcony. Jesus tells us very plainly. He says, you, my followers, all of my faithful believers are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. I mean, didn't we learn that in Cradle Roll? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine. I mean, light being a metaphor and a symbol for truth and the good news of the gospel. Continuing, Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Yes, Jesus designs for us not to shut ourselves away and sequester ourselves in monasteries or in convents, but to rather be a light of example to those around us, wherever we find ourselves. In the Psalms, we read this counsel, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he or she shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Cedar in Lebanon is a mighty, majestic, powerful tree. And that promise is that the righteous not will grow or could grow, but they shall grow. It will happen. We all know that Jesus has given us a commission, right? He's given us a commission to go, and in Mark 15:16, we're more familiar maybe with Matthew 28, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. But I kind of like Mark's account of this story. It's kind of succinct and simply says this. Jesus is quoted and says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel, the good news. That is the essence of Christianity, is to share the good news with every created living being, that is human beings, that God has created on earth. That would include our neighbors across the street, not to mention our colleagues at work and pretty much everyone else around our sphere of influence. That is everyone around us. But what are the excuses that we make for not sharing our light, for not sharing and fulfilling the commission that God has given to us? Well, there are many, beginning with maybe I don't know enough. I don't know enough information, and so I don't have the Bible memorized yet, so I can't share with anyone. Well, I have a Bible verse for that. We're counseled to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We're continually to be studying, but we're also continually to be giving and sharing what we study and learn, however small it might be, with whoever is around us. Well, some say, well, you know, it's not just my thing. It's not my personality. I don't, you know, relate well with people. And that might be true. There's some people that are more extroverted than others. I understand. But amazingly, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is connected to Jesus, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Maybe the old way of it's not my thing. It says, behold, all things are become new. And if everything has become new, I think included in that is a desire and a willingness, whether it's difficult or not, to share the good news of the gospel with someone around our sphere of influence. Well, what about this one? I'm too scared or I'm too nervous. I get nervous and scared sharing with people. That's okay, because God has promised I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Always in a connection with Him, we have the power to do things that might seem scary. Yes, I have gone door knocking in California, and we had to keep record when I was at Amazing Facts. I knocked on over 1,000 doors during my time there, and it's a hard way to get a Bible study. I'll say it. I mean, it's a hard way. I had many doors slammed in my face, but there were always some, however small a number, that were responsive and were receptive to an invitation to study and to find out more about God's Word. And I got to tell you that one or two persons made all the door slams, all the get off my property, what are you doing? I'm going to call the police. All of it just sank into insignificance because of one person who was interested in knowing the precious truths that we know and hold so dearly from the Word of God. What about this excuse? What if I make a mistake? Well, you probably will. I've made mistakes. God, you know, he knows that we all have weaknesses, but He will make up the difference, right? He will help us. In fact, He says in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, God says, is made perfect in weakness. So that's a good thing. As we recognize our weakness in being able to share the precious truths that we believe in, God can help us if we ask Him to do so. And then here might be another one that's a little more sad in a way, that I don't have time. I have other priorities and I have a different focus in life. Now, the Bible says in Philippians 2, 3 and 4 that we should consider others better than ourselves. Philippians 2 verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That is the counsel given to us in the Bible, that I should be more interested in looking out for the things that are going on in the lives of the people around me than what's on my plate. What do I have to do? What are all of my issues and challenges? And those will always be there, but those also too will sink into insignificance as we are busy about the Master's business. Well, ultimately, what is the motivation? It has to be a love for Jesus and a love for those that He died for. Jesus loves everyone. I spent all this week at Vacation Bible School sharing with kids about how Jesus loves all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. And in repeating that statement, it was strengthened in my own mind and my own heart that, yes, Jesus loves the children of the world, and we as adults are children as well. We're just big kids that still need to sit on Jesus' lap and have His wonderful face shine upon us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That is, it compels and motivates and drives us. That is the driving factor and motivation in all that we do and all that we say. It is the love of Jesus. And then it also says in 1 John 3, verse 14, these are powerful words. How do we know that we really have a connection with Jesus? The Apostle John writes and tells us that we know that we really have a connection and a saving, growing relationship with Jesus because of this. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Because of our love for other people and those that Jesus died for, that is an evidence that we really, truly ourselves have passed from death into life and that we are connected to Jesus. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Well, there are actually two kinds of evangelism. If the word evangelism just means good news, the good news along with the gospel is the good news. Not everyone is called to publicly preach or teach the gospel in holding evangelistic meetings. Not everyone, we're told, is called to do this, but everyone is called in some way to make a priority, a high priority, and I would submit the highest priority, to be an example, an influence, and a witness to everyone around us. And to find some way to share the good news of the gospel with them in some way or another. I heard a story a long time ago from Pastor Mark Finley, and he was talking about when the communism fell in the Soviet Union in 1991, and they began to allow missionaries to go into formerly what had not been a place where missionaries could go in Russia because Christianity was not allowed. And as he went and was being able to hold meetings there, after a period of time, several years or so, he got news and heard about a man who was the highest soul winner in Russia. And I think he had heard that this man had brought, it was either hundreds or maybe thousands. I haven't heard the story in a while. I don't want to mistell it. But I think it was an incredible number. It might have been as high as several thousand people had been baptized as a direct result of this man's influence and what he was doing. And so Mark Finley, of course, naturally wanted to meet him and find out, what is he doing? How is he doing this? And so eventually, I guess, arrangements were made. And when he met this man, the guy was just a short fellow, was a blue-collar worker, wasn't necessarily, a white-collar, sophisticated, highly educated person. And Pastor Finley said, how are you leading so many people to Jesus? What is it that you're doing? Please, tell me. And so the man evidently just did something like this. And Pastor Finley was like, what is that? What is this? What does that mean? And so the man took him over to the VCR and took a tape of Pastor Finley's sermons and just took and pushed it into the VCR and pushed play and says, I invite people to come hear you preach. That's it. That was all. So even though he himself wasn't a public preacher and evangelist, he just simply says, I know who is, and I'll put on a video of someone who is preaching the truth, and then I'll invite people to come and hear it so they can hear the good news and be inspired about the truths that I know. I might not be able to explain it as well as Pastor Finley, but I'll do the next best thing and put in a video of him. So I thought that was incredible that something as simple as just putting in a video cassette can result in many, many people being baptized. What is it that we can do? What small thing, what little thing, seemingly little, can we do that will be an influence to help others? Well, what is the secret? Let's read about this secret that's explained and articulated very nicely here in Signs of the Times, June 12, 1901. The servant of the Lord, inspired testimony, says this. One of the divine plans for growth is impartation. Yes, it's important to study. We must do that and not neglect that. It's important to pray. We must do that and not neglect that. But there was a time in my life when I did those things, but I still didn't notice or see or realize any real excitement and growth in my experience. She says, the Christian is to gain strength by strengthening others. And then she quotes Proverbs 11:25, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And then continuing, it says this. This is not merely a promise. He that watereth or nurtures or blesses others will himself or herself also be watered. This is not merely a promise. It is a divine law. A fixed law of God, divine, a law by which God designs that the streams of benevolence, like the waters of the great deep, shall be kept in constant circulation, continually flowing back to their source. And then the final sentence says, in the fulfilling of this law, the law of imparting the whatever we know, what amounts of truth we have studied for ourselves, in fulfilling this law is the secret of spiritual growth. And that's the title of our message today. That is the secret. Imparting and sharing in how whatever measure we know and understand to others, that will help our own experience to grow. And that's what I think all of us are eager and anxious to do. And I'm excited that our church has been so supportive of missions and this project that we're working on with Peru. Thank you, Zach, and for Chris and all that have supported and given to this project. It's so vital to our own growth. And I encourage you, maybe if there's been a stagnation in your spiritual experience, to consider going on a mission trip, because that will fire you up like very few things can, to go in a place where people have very little and yet they are excited about the gospel. The book Acts of the Apostles simply says this: strength to resist evil is best gained by aggressive service. The strength to overcome the challenges and obstacles in our lives, if I just keep it to myself and I just stay in my room and I'm reading and studying, and those are good, but I neglect to be thoughtful and intentional about sharing and outreaching to someone, then there's not going to be the same strength that is gained by being an example and witnessing with other people. This is a one-day church being put up in Africa. Also, we're told in Christ's Object Lesson, the Lord desires us to use every gift we have, and if we do this, we shall have greater gifts to use. In other words, it works by multiplication. As we use the little amount that we might think we have, God will bless and multiply and increase the talents and the gifts that we have to even greater talents and abilities. He does not supernaturally endow us with the qualifications that we lack, but while we use that which we have, He will work with us to increase and strengthen every faculty. By every wholehearted, earnest sacrifice for the Master's service, our powers will increase. And that's what I long to have everyone in our church experience. It is such a blessing to share with others. And I know all of us are not called to be Doug Batchelor, Mark Finley, but we're told, Testimonies for the Church here, Volume 5, all can do something in the work. None of us can shift our responsibility to someone else. All of us can do something. The Lord needs all, from the officers to the rank and file soldiers. We are all soldiers for Christ, and we're all called and commissioned, given the same marching orders, to do something that will help others and to help them know what God wants them to know about the precious truth that we have. Well, our hour is getting late, and I'm going to try to make some of these kind of quickly. I want to share at least a few things, a personal testimony about how myself, you know, for years I would read and study and was learning things, but there was no real power in my Christian life, and I couldn't put my finger on what was missing. Well, what was missing was the fact that I was not really sharing that with anyone. Just keeping it to yourself, it was not flowing in and out. There was not a channel of sharing and blessing to other people. And so I decided to try to find and start a Bible study group. So I did. I put out some flyers at a place, a public place. And on the first night, I was all excited. I was eager. And I had one couple that came, just one. And I had all this information, all these facts and all these notes for this Bible study. And it was one couple that came. And the man was a nice fellow. They were friendly, but he disagreed with everything I said. It was so hard for me, but I studied with him for about 2 years. And eventually he got so upset at me that he said, I don't want to study with you anymore. I never repelled him or said anything hostile or angry to him. But that was the beginning of realizing. And during that time, I think the Lord helped prepare me for anyone else that might come after that. Because, I mean, literally, everything I said, every point, every Bible verse, he took it a different way. He saw it differently. No, you're wrong. This is not. And so I had to humble myself, and my faith was just, it was getting pummeled in a way, trying to share the things that I thought were so precious and clear. It was not so precious and clear to this man, but evidently he liked me enough that he would keep coming week after week. And in doing that, though, it only inspired me to want to reach out to more people. And so beginning to reach out to our neighbors. our neighbors, my wife is braver than I am, and she had the idea of trying to make some food, which is always a winning idea, I think, to share with your neighbors, some apple crisp. And we have two bachelors that have been our neighbors next to us. One guy comes out and shoots. We've had some snakes around our, and he comes and shoots snakes in the middle of the daytime. Well, here shooting right next to the house and just trying to shoot snakes. A little bit crazy, but that's okay. When my wife gave him the apple crisp, the guy just melted. I mean, he's all tough guy. I mean, he's got a tank top and is all rough and tough looking. And here comes my little wife, and I'm just kind of trailing along behind her. And when she, you go first. But when she got this, he was like, I'm going to go to the store. She thought, these guys don't get homemade food. I'm going to try to make some food for them. And so the guy was like, I'm going to go to the store and get some ice cream so I can put on this. This is so wonderful. This is great. And it really just softened and just brought about a simple warmth with us and this fellow, which we kind of been afraid of and still have been a little bit scared of him. And the other guy at the end of the road, he also is a single fellow, younger man. And when my wife brought the apple crisp to him, his dogs were barking and I thought they were going to tear us apart. And anyway, he comes out and he starts apologizing for not talking to us first. And I thought, we waited how many months and how long we waited to reach out to our neighbors. And so anyway, that was very exciting. And I invited them to come to some of our meetings last year, and they didn't come, but at least they know that we care about them. And so it starts with letting people know that you care. But I'm always hoping and have an eye of getting the gospel to them in some way. I want to get to that. And so also, there's a few places I like to eat. And I like Mexican food. And so I've gone to Mary's Burrito over here a number of times so that they kind of know me when I come in there. And there's a young man that is usually fixing the food. And I was like, I got to do something for this guy. And so I got a Spanish Steps to Christ. And he's a young fellow. He's either maybe early 20s or so. And I gave it to him. And he likes soccer. And so I try to keep up with a little bit of soccer just so I can talk to him. And even this week I talked with him, and he was showing me pictures on his phone of his car, and then other customers will come in and help to make food for them, and they'll come out to the table and they'll talk to me. And so I'm trying to build up a rapport so that I can, you know, just see how it goes and maybe be able to start Bible studies with them. I don't know. But I'm looking for ways. I'm just trying to be practical. Now, there's a place that I go to get my hair over here at Great Clips by Walmart at Sam's Club. And I've been going to this one lady that she does a good job on my, and I don't have much hair, for you can see it obviously. And I've been going to her again and again, and I request her, and so I began to build up a rapport with her, and she knows I'm a pastor, and she knows that I'm here, and I've kind of gently invited her to come to our church, and I'll think about it, and we'll see. I think she's 25, and she just got married. She'd been living with her boyfriend for about 2 years, and they just decided to get married kind of out of the blue just 2 weeks ago. And she said, I almost called to see if you could come and do the service, but I was away. And so I was like, oh, that would have been amazing. And I found out that she needs a washing machine. So if any of you know of have an extra washing machine or something, see me afterwards. I'd love to be able to do something. And so I've tried to talk with her, and right now that's just where we're at. I know she has a cat. I always talk to her about her cats. I'm just trying to be interested in her life. But I'm running out of hair, so if I run out of hair, I'm not going to have time to keep going back there. And it might seem strange if I show up without any hair, and I'm still, I'm just here to talk. So I'm trying to keep moving forward. But I want to encourage you that there's something that someone that you know, even places like where you get your hair cut or places that you maybe like to eat, and there's another Mexican restaurant that my wife and I like to eat at up on Hendersonville Road, and we've taken in Spanish Great Controversies. And they were very thankful and very excited about that. And so we're just waiting to see how that'll work out. And I just come and just smile and try to talk when I can. And anyway, God's appeal to you and me is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen, the apostle says at the very close of 2 Peter 3:18. But grow. The principal action of the Christian is a growing action. There is no plateau or standstill. It is always moving forward. And speaking of moving forward, I want to close with this story about a tremendous person that is a tremendous inspiration to many people, who is famous for saying, "I will go any direction so long as it's forward." Some of you, many of you maybe have heard of David Livingstone. He lived in the 1800s. He was a Scottish Christian medical doctor, missionary, and explorer. And while he was in medical school, he heard one of his teachers talking about the need for Africa, how at the time Africa was a continent that was largely unchurched and unopen and unknown to Christianity. And so his teacher would say something like, he had been to Africa, "I have seen the smoke from 1,000 fires over the horizon in Africa, all of which are villages who have never heard the name of Christ." And again, he would hear this, "a smoke of 1,000 villages, all who've never heard the name of Christ." And he was motivated to say, "What can I do and go and reach these people who've not heard the name of Christ?" And so at a young age, he decided to go and help those in Africa. Well, when he went, it didn't take long when he went with some other missionaries before he realized these other missionaries, they just wanted to set up a nice outpost and a nice home and just kind of live comfortably and not really push into the real difficult areas where people were at. And so he actually, I'm quoting him, he called them veranda missionaries because they just wanted to hang out on the veranda where it was nice and cozy and comfortable and not go where the people that really needed help were. And so Livingstone, all along, he's exploring, he's doing evangelism, he's doing medical missionary work, all along passing out tracts and Bibles. And he continued to go forward. Well, as he was moving along and going forward, he got married and had several children. And several of his children, after he had them, they died from malaria. Malaria is a real problem there in Africa. And his wife also got sick with malaria. And so he sent her back home to Scotland. But he said, "I must stay in Africa because there are people that need to hear about Jesus Christ." Now, on one occasion, he was attacked by a lion and he lost the use of his left arm really for the rest of his life. It really was not really as useful. But there were some natives that actually came to his aid. This lion jumped or attacked on him and he was able to escape with his life. Well, after 8 years away, his wife, Mary, returned in 1861. Notice I said she was gone for 8 years and he is all on his own doing work to reach people that need to know about Jesus Christ. Well, after she returned, after just a few months, they were on an expedition up the Zambezi River and she got malaria again. And this time she died. And this really was hard for David Livingstone because he really did love his wife. His wife was a precious lady and she understood the thinking of her husband and his motivation above all else to save souls. And so she was united with him in that work together to save souls. But he was really devastated upon the loss of his wife. And he made these words, this comment. He says, "I will go anywhere, provided it be forward." Anywhere, anywhere with Jesus, as long as Jesus is with, I'll go anywhere as long as it's forward. And so it has been estimated that David Livingstone traveled 29,000 miles in Africa, all the while exploring and trying to spread the gospel. Well, he contracted malaria many times, but then one time in 1873, he contracted malaria at the age of 60, and this time he did not recover. In fact, the story goes that he was in his small hut or tent, rather. I think this artist's drawing is showing a hut, but I think it was a tent even. Very few, low on supplies. And his attendants were outside, sleeping outside, and they waited and waited and waited for him. All night they waited for him to come out, and they finally got the courage to go up and go in and get him. And you can see from this artist's drawing, they found him. He had gotten up and had been praying, and he actually died while kneeling in prayer, praying that God would help him and strengthen him to go forward in sharing the gospel in Africa. Well, his two loyalist attendants actually took the body and they took his heart out and they buried it near where he had died. And then the body was taken and shipped back to England, where it was buried with the kings and queens in Westminster Abbey, where it still is today. You know, David Livingstone is an example of what I think is just a full commitment to God, a desire to say, "Lord, here am I, send me." Isaiah 6:8. "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And then the response of the prophet Isaiah was, "Then said I, here am I, send me. Send me across the street to my neighbor. Send me to my colleagues at work. Send me to whoever, wherever, whoever cuts my hair, whoever pumps my gas, or wherever they are, send me." And so I'm going to just a few of the quotes that David Livingston said that are, I share these to encourage and inspire all of us, myself included. He said, "God, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me, and sever any tie in my heart except the tie that binds my heart to yours." Any tie of anything that would be a distraction from my love and dedication to you, sever that. Then David Livingston said, "If you have men who will only come, that is, come to Africa, if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all." That was the character of David Livingston. And finally, he says, "All that I am, I owe to Jesus Christ, revealed to me in his divine book." Yes, he studied the Bible. And we don't ever want to neglect that. That is a foundation for our faith. But he studied his Bible and had a love for Jesus and says, "I want to follow and share Jesus wherever I go." Yes, this morning, Jesus is bidding all of us to follow me. Follow me in a call to personal evangelism. And I'll close with these two verses. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." That is, he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom, as a purchase price redemption for many, many people. In fact, it's for all of us, that purchase price that was paid. That was his mindset. That was his attitude. And Luke 6:40, Jesus tells us these words, "The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master." Well, this morning, I want to be like Jesus. I want to have his love in my heart for everyone around me. I want to be led by him day by day, moment by moment, to be a blessing and an influence to reach out to everyone around me, no matter where they are, no matter where I find myself. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you to follow Jesus in his example of service. Oh, Father in heaven, Lord, oh, that we would have more grace to trust in Jesus, to lead us faithfully, and to guide us to those who need to hear a word, a message of truth, to comfort and to support and to be a blessing to those who need the promises and the blessings that have been poured out upon us. Lord, I pray for all of my brothers and sisters, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us this coming week to be a witness for you. We'll go anywhere so long as it's with Jesus and so long as it's forward with him. Bless us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.